Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST. Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, and welcome once again to History Dweebs, the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. I am Tim, and thank you for joining us today. The topic of our podcast today is the coast-to-coast killer, serial killer Tommy Lynn Sells. Tommy Lynn Sells was a psychopath who stalked, raped, and murdered women. And he also killed men as well. He really didn't have like a target audience or a population that he killed. He killed a lot of different folks in a lot of different demographics. But we're going to talk about his dastardly deeds.
He was an equal opportunity murderer.
Yeah, he really was. But before we talk about his dastardly deeds, let me introduce our panel. I'm joined, as always, by the very lovely and talented, the Queen of Mean, the Empress of Evil, the Mistress of the Macabre, Pill Poppin', and Penis Lovin', Brandy. How are you today, Brandy?
I'm good, Timmy. How are you? And I want it noted, I'm here under protest.
Why are you protesting today?
Well, I'm here under protest because I would have protested and taken the day off today had we not been going to do a show.
Oh, yes. This is International Women's Day.
So I'm here under
Appreciation Day,
duress and protest.
Are women protesting today?
No, it's the day without women.
Yeah.
It's a day without women.
So all these women are taking the day off. They're not going shopping. They're not doing.
Oh, they're not going shopping?
Yeah.
Shit, I might go to the grocery store.
Well, Brandy, we thank you for coming in and thinking of our listeners and, you know, carrying on. We're glad that you're here.
Yeah. Shannon probably's not at work today. It's because she's badass.
Shannon Rosser. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
No, she's at work, but she's just sitting in the parking lot.
That's true.
Holding the sign.
I thought about
she's making the men walk around her.
I was gonna walk out front with a sign, but you all said that you'd turn the hose on the dogs or something. I mean, I'm not in the mood for that. It's a little cold.
We'd get the Pinkerton Detective Agency rough you up.
I'd have Rudy down here coming after her.
It's a little cold.
No, yeah. We want to thank and recognize all of our lady listeners. And say can you know just to tell you how much we appreciate you listening, and we really do, and we podcast would be nothing without you. So,
well, we'd have about 6 listeners.
We would, and so we appreciate you, Brandy.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
Oh, so we got I appreciate our listeners. We don't have.
Well, we appreciate our female
Brandy
listeners,
Brandy,
and
I mean,
we appreciate.
Still, how old are you, Devil?
Why does it matter?
I mean, you're mostly woman. You're what, like 44 or something?
I'm not 44. No.
So you will be.
Someday.
Someday, yeah. So you're still mostly woman.
Oh, fuck off. God bless it. Really? I mean, already you have to start on
me?
No. You're not even here yet.
I appreciate the part of her that's still woman.
Yeah, that's you're not. You're actually not here yet.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to take that back.
So this is Brandy time.
It is.
And Brandy, you have a new podcast you're going to tell us about.
I do have a new podcast. It's called Cover to Cover Kids, and I almost have it on iTunes. We had some technical issues, but it's almost on iTunes, and it is at Libsyn, and I posted the link and everything, and it's just, you know, audiobooks for kids. And
you read stories.
You know what I did notice, though, because I'm a horrible speller, and nobody's called me on it, which I appreciate that, but I spelled original wrong. Like I said, oh, yeah, send me some original work if you want me to do. And I spelled original wrong. And
this
I spelled
is on
it,
the posting on the.
Yes, and I spelled original because I'm so used to having just autocorrect.
Yes.
Autocorrect did not correct it for me. Well, and I just put it out there in the world like a dumbass.
Well.
Do you know I've noticed that my autocorrect, because I talk to my three boys so much,
mm-hmm.
that autocorrect corrects almost everything to Dick.
I'm not surprised by that.
Because I always call him, you stupid Dick, you dumb Dick, you dickhead.
Still wants to take over my time.
Okay, like let's get back. You know what I was thinking?
You know what autocorrect does? It changes the word fuck to duck.
I know, you got
to
be careful
Mine
of
changes
that.
It to guck.
Mine the dog.
Mine doesn't even do that anymore. If I'm texting
one of my friends and I say comes out, I want to duck you really hard. It just loses something. All right, so that's Cover to Cover Kids available on Libsyn and soon to be available on iTunes.
Yes,
and we'll be posting links to that on our Facebook group page, History Dweebs, the podcast, and you have a Facebook page as well, right?
I do. Cover to Cover Kids on Facebook. Like it. And there's not much there right now, I have to be honest, but it will be. It's getting there. We're puttering along. Technology is. See, all this newfangled technology is wearing me out.
First of all, I got two thoughts on that. Should I wait to be introduced?
Yeah, wait to be introduced. Okay.
Let me get my thoughts.
He has two thoughts.
I have one thought, is that I think it's great that it's a great option for parents who want to drive, like you say, on a long car trip or for the summer for vacation, or they want to play something for their kids at night, and they don't want to, the parents want to go have sex, so they want to leave their kid in the room alone. They can put you in there. But I really think you should have done porn reading porn, because I think that would have been very popular, don't you, Colonel?
That is a different podcast.
Actually, now I listen to the Blockhead Pumpkin thing.
I did too. I listened to that one too.
Spookly
the Square Pumpkin.
Yeah.
Noah loves Spookly.
I gotta say, I got a little bit of a chub. A little bit of a chub.
That is disgusting. Let me introduce
Steve. Feel so dirty.
And it's very hard for me to introduce you as the moral compass of the podcast now.
Oh, my God. I've got to go take a Silkwood shower. Oh.
But let me introduce the very honorable and talented.
Yeah, honorable.
The distinguished Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm wonderful today, Timmy. So let's get back to the Devil Singers. I got two thoughts on that.
Okay.
You know how on CSI they have, like, sometimes they'll have crossover episodes like Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley?
Uh-huh.
I think we should do crossover episodes of your podcast and our podcast.
So we can do bedtime stories about serial killers.
Yeah.
I see.
I think that would be good.
Okay. What's your other thought?
My other thought is
she rejected that.
This is going to be really, really cool when your Facebook page, when Amber and Jen show up to your Facebook page for little kids.
They will be just fine.
Yeah, they will.
They will be just fine.
All the moms just, could you write it? Could you read the story of the little elephant that could? And
they're talking about boobs.
And Amber's like the little elephant that could choke me.
They would be just fine.
If you are not a member of our Facebook group, please join. It's History Dweebs, the podcast. Yeah. We've got a lot of cool people on there. And most of the people you hear us mention on the podcast and give shout-outs to, they're a part of that group. So we invite you to join us as well. I want to give a special shout-out to our Patreon subscribers. Our Patreon subscriptions are growing every day, and we're so grateful, and we so appreciate it. Appreciative of it. So I would like to thank the following folks for their generous contributions to the podcast: Alicia and Chip, Jason Dykes, Bridget Clavey, Brandy McBride, Kimberly Cabron, Elise, Scotty J with the Killers, Cults, and Nut Jobs podcast.
Hey, you got it right.
I did. Thank you, Scott. TJ Young, Diane Student, Amber Trevino, Annette Petre, Lise, Mandy Swanson, thank you, Mandy. Joe Hopkins in New York. Joe's going to have a podcast of his own coming out soon.
I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. Jennifer Siemens, Leslie, Amber Scoville, Jahara, Cindy Lou, Lydia Fisher and her sister Ruth, Dr. Jeff Chestnut and his lovely wife Dawn, Andrew Happ, Jennifer Wasson, and I'm probably saying the name wrong, but Jennifer, thank you so much. I will probably check. I wrote
Lydia?
It down. No. Just don't say anything. I probably wrote it down wrong, but Jennifer W., thank you very much for your kind contributions. She's a new subscriber. Tyrone, thank you, Tyrone. Phyllis Munson, Sarah Morgan, thank you, Sarah. Charlie and Allie from the Insight Podcast. They have a new podcast. Their latest podcast is on a lady, a socialite named Star Faithful. And I saw the title, Faithful.
Is that her Christian name?
No, you know, I'm thinking, yeah, really, well, it really was. And I'm thinking, it's about a stripper, you know, so I got all
excited. Wasn't about a stripper, was it?
No, but it was very good, very good. Melissa Montoya, thank you, Melissa. Brittany Martin, Cheryl Weldon, and I think I said Jennifer Siemens and her mother, Linda, Leslie Hagar, and Rudy, the Wonder Dog. If I've left anyone out, please let me know, and I will correct that next time. Thank you for your kind contributions. If you would like to support the podcast, you can do so by going to patreon.com/historydweebs. You can give a little, you can give a lot, or Colonel.
Just a wee tiny little bit to me.
Everything helps. And if you can't afford it, don't worry about it. Just leave us an iTunes review, join our Facebook group. You can say thank you in a lot of different ways.
Support the arts.
Or, you know what, if you can afford it and say, fuck you, I ain't giving you a dime, fine, too. Just give us a good iTunes review.
Support the arts.
Yeah. Seriously, though, we don't want people giving us money that can't afford it. So if you can't afford it, we are very, very much appreciative. If not, don't worry about it. We'll keep it on. Right, Brandy?
We always do.
Yes. So let's talk.
This is a labor of love for us, Timmy.
Yes, it is. Let's talk about the Coast to Coast Killer, Brandy.
Okay.
Serial killer Tommy Lynn Sells. Now, I'm going to try not
okay,
to say.
Okay, can I just clear up for real second? 1 second here. It's Sales.
Okay,
thank you. I just want to. Because you got your accent. No, okay. I'm not insulting you, Timmy. It's just you got the accent, and it's not Sells, it's Sales.
You know, I will appear on the podcast we listen to.
Okay, Mr. Big Shot, tell us all about it.
The podcast we listen to podcast this weekend. Where I'll be interviewed, and I'm sure your name will come up.
I'm just.
So do you
want to
continue down this road?
No, I'm helping our listeners because you got that charming Southern accent.
It's not a Southern accent.
It's Appalachian.
It's hillbilly.
It's Appalachian and
it's not hillbilly. Hill, it's Appalachian. And let me tell you something.
Sales and cells can
what?
Get.
Tell us something. I'm eager
okay.
to hear what you have to say.
About Appalachian. I've told you this before, I think. The Appalachian accent.
What?
When people moved over from England and Scotland in the 1800s, they moved to Appalachia, right? The people who moved to Appalachia.
Mm-hmm.
That at the time was the King's English. So it changed in England, but because the Appalachians were disconnected from the mother country,
uh-huh.
it didn't change for us. So I'm speaking proper English. It's just 200 years old.
Okay. I am in no way being critical. I just, if people want to look this man up on the internet.
Sells. S-E-L-L-S.
It is Sells.
Yes. Thank you, Colonel.
Oh, wait. Mic drop.
Okay. Sells. So Timmy had a mic drop. Right.
Timmy had a mic drop.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
I thought it was Sales. Because when you say Sales, that's how you say Sales.
And you know how you would have known that?
If I would have read script.
Absolutely. Timmy, you're ridiculous.
Timmy had a mic drop.
I got it in front of me.
And you're a punk bitch.
I should have gave you 6 pages like I gave Brandy. I was going to give him part of yours. So
I don't
even
know why.
Because he would have bitched about it. Oh, well, I've got 3 pages.
I'd have ended up with them anyway.
Yeah, he would have gave them to you.
Yeah. It's all right. It's all good. It's all good.
You would be fucking lazy about a podcast. All you have to do is read. You don't have to research. You don't have to write. You don't even read the script beforehand. All you have to do is show up and read 2 pages. I don't even know why you're doing this.
He's starting to become a burden. He really is.
He really is.
He's an albatross.
Jesus Christ, let me put him in a fucking nursing home or something. He has nothing.
It's kind of like when you have to have your wife's slow cousin work for you.
Yeah.
You can't fire him because he's family.
Right. So you give him nothing to do.
He's supposed to separate out the screws and the nuts. That's his job.
I'm sure he could do that, actually.
You know who could do that?
A monkey.
A fucking monkey could do that. Monkey be all over the store. And it wouldn't be giving me shit about my accent either.
He'd be throwing shit at you. That's right.
You know what?
We're going to find a talking monkey. There got to be a talking monkey available.
There are no talking monkeys. All they can do is sign, which really doesn't work for a podcast.
I'm just going to sit here for a little bit.
Jesus Christ. All right.
I made a mistake.
It's a royal one, I guess.
Tommy Lee Sells was a sexual psychopath, Randy.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Okay, you can do a Joe Pesci on me now.
Jesus.
Does he look like a clown to you?
I amuse you? All right, Tommy Lee Sells was a sexual psychopath who stalked, raped, and murdered women and girls. He is believed to have killed at least 22 people in the 1980s and 1990s. Law enforcement officials believe the number could be as high as 70, perhaps even more. Let me tell you, researching this story was a fucking nightmare because...
Oh, tell me about it.
No, yeah, I know. It was a struggle. I had all kind of sources for this, but there's different timelines. Every source had a different timeline, so I couldn't get a real good grip. I'm doing the best I can with this timeline, trying to put it all together. But some people have him murdering up to 70 people. Some of them say as few as 22, but somewhere between 22 and 70. He was only convicted for one.
Jesus.
But
that seems to be the way with serial killers, because like Henry Lee Lucas, you know, it's like, he killed either 7 people or 220.
Well, I think sometimes it's like when they do a cocaine bust. They always say they got more than they actually did.
In the street value of the what street you talking about? Yeah. Because where I live, weed's $35 for a little bag.
There's some of that. They always attribute more. But this guy, I think, may have really killed at least 70. He may have killed more. The thing with him is he was transient, so he was all over the country.
Is he a Gandhi dancer?
He wasn't a Gandhi dancer, but he did ride the rails, and he was a carny.
Oh.
He's a fucking carny. Yeah. I hope we don't have any carnies
and
listening
to this
podcast. But if we do have any we apologize to any carnies or hobos who might be listening to our podcast.
We appreciate carnies.
We do. The ones who don't rape and kill people.
Clearly.
All right. So he traveled across the continental United States where he committed all these dastardly deeds. Tommy Lynn Sells was born. He had a twin sister, Tammy Jean. He was born in Oakland, California, Colonel, on June 28, 1964. So what does that mean?
June 28, 1964? Shit, he was younger than me.
Well, and his mother wasn't, well, she was a little pregnant.
She was a little pregnant. They got pregnant right around Christmas time.
Yeah, they conceived right around then.
Or about Thanksgiving. They had a nice Halloween.
His mother's name was Nina, and she had two sons before the twins were born. And three more boys to follow. So she had her hands full. The children, she was a single mother as well. The children had a non-traditional upbringing, Brandy.
I can imagine.
Including fundamental questions about their parentage. What's so funny about that?
Dude, he's on a tear today.
When you grow up wondering, is that really your daddy? And then somebody gets drunk at a wedding
Tommy Lee Lynn grows up, I don't think, you know, there's probably a lot of people disowning him because he didn't really, he didn't really bring a lot of honor to the family.
I can't imagine.
Officially, an insurance agent named William Sells, friends called him Bill, was the twins' father.
officially.
But it's believed that the biological father was actually a man by the name of Joe Lovins.
Joe Lovins.
A used car salesman. Man, never buy a used car from a man named Joe Lovins.
Joe Lovins.
How you doing now? I'm Joe Lovins. What can I put you in today?
Let me see.
What can I put in you today?
What do I have to do to see you behind the wheel?
How you doing?
Joe Lovins. All right, so that's who they think.
You know what? I think that's going to be my new name, Colonel Lovins.
Nope. Well, this Joe Lovins, he was a... Joe Lovins had bailed William Sells. Remember William, the...
Billy.
Billy, sure. The official father. He was an insurance agent. Well, Lovins had bailed him out of a financial hole. And Sells agreed to claim the children as his own in an insurance scam. So he was trying to get some insurance. I don't know how all that worked, but he provided, William Sells provided the insurance to the kids. I don't know. They had some kind of scheme going. But anyway, Tommy Lynn and his sister was initially raised by his mother, Nina. And then when Tommy and Tammy were 18 months old, Nina Sells moved to her family to St. Louis, where she had relatives. So she moved the kids to St. Louis, where she had relatives. That and tragically, young Tammy contracted meningitis and died. Oh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How old was she?
18 months.
18 months.
Tommy had exhibited the same high fever as his sister, but he ended up surviving. So obviously the wrong one survived here in this scenario. Nina, the mother, sent her son away to live with her aunt, Bonnie Walpool. And he lived with her from the ages of 2 to 5. So 3 years he was living with his aunt. Now, Nina never visited her son nor contacted Bonnie to inquire about how Tommy was doing. So Bonnie proceeded to try to adopt Tommy. When she did, Nina became furious. And she come and got the boy and refused to let her see his aunt again. Apparently, Bonnie was a nice lady, and she was trying to do right by young Tommy, but...
Mama wasn't letting that happen.
Apparently not.
It's kind of a dick move.
So Mama gave up the kid to Aunt Bonnie.
Well, she let her... for a couple of years.
Now, Mama wants back in the picture.
Yes. She got mad when she...
I got to recap.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay.
Every aspect of Tommy Lynn Sells' upbringing seems to be tainted by his mother's neglect. He was allowed to start drinking alcohol with his grandpa at the age of 7.
Oh, well, who's not been allowed to do that?
His grandfather claimed that booze would make a man out of him.
True.
Yeah, but age 7?
Hey, it's never too early.
At age 8... young Tommy was allowed to spend time with a man from a nearby town who had befriended him. He would take the boy on day trips, and the man would lavish him with gifts and cash.
Mm-hmm.
8-year-old. That's not sounding good, is it?
No. Especially not if he's giving him liquor.
Well, he wasn't. That was his uncle. But he let Tommy start to sleep over at his house.
Sure, that's normal.
With increasing frequency... The man would later be identified as a pedophile who molested boys, including Tommy Lynn Sells, for years before being caught. So
get out.
Yeah. Tommy Lynn Sells began smoking ditch weed, marijuana, at the at the age of 10.
Ditch weed?
Mm-hmm.
Is that my name for marijuana?
I don't know. I guess it's name for.
We always called ditch weed. Ditch weed was the cheap shit that we called that. Seeds and
we called it skunk weed because it smelled skunky, but now all weed smells skunky.
Yeah, ditch weed.
In 1973, when Tommy was 11 years old, Joe Lovins, remember him, the used car salesman?
Joe Lovins.
Mm-hmm. Who presumed who was his biological father. People think it was his biological father. Well, he died.
He died?
Yeah, God rest his soul. And that stirred up emotions in young Tommy Lynn. Tommy tried to talk to his father during the viewing, but was cut off in the middle of his address. Apparently, he wrote out this long note, and he started reading it to his dad while he was laying in the coffin. But his grandmother pulled him away and kept telling him to stop it. And they basically had to drag young Tommy away.
Aww. What the hell kind of people do that? Let the poor kid get his
dude, sand. Evidently people who raise serial killers.
I guess, but maybe he was hoping to get a discount on a Datsun or something.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he was just going off on a tangent saying crazy shit.
We don't know.
A discount on a Datsun?
In 1977, when Tommy Lynn Sells was 13 years old, he crawled into bed naked with his grandmother.
Nope.
His grandmother became upset and ordered him out of her room.
Nine!
Exactly.
Nine!
Tommy Lynn would later claim his grandmother was sexually teasing him by dressing provocatively.
In her own bed.
She had it coming.
Well, she had that night robe on. She probably had those plastic rollers in her hair.
Oh, yeah, she had those
styrofoam rollers.
Those big fuzzy slippers walking around.
Whatever.
Walking around in that silk moon.
And you know what? Here's
the thing.
She was
asking for it, basically. Yeah.
Even if you think she was, would you ever say that out loud?
No.
My grandma. Look at her dress like that.
Look at that. What kind of whore
does
that?
Plint. Print shit
that
on.
Moo moo. Yeah. That moo moo's hugging your curves today, Grandma.
Grandma didn't like it.
Tits hanging all down to her knees like that.
You know, no means no. So she she ran her grandson out of her bedroom.
Yeah,
that's not something that happens in most families.
Oh, I said it was that untraditional upbringing, non-traditional upbringing.
Good Lord.
A few months later. Tommy tried to rape his own mother in the shower.
Holy shit.
God.
Mother raper? He's a mother raper?
Nina was in the shower. When Tommy opened the shower door, he was naked and sexually aroused.
Let's also admit, Nina's kind of a bitch.
Yeah, Nina.
Yeah, but...
No, I'm not saying...
Already off on the wrong track at 13.
Oh, God.
Motherfucker!
Well, I mean, you know, he was he pinned his mother against a wall and tried to fill her up.
What?
Thinking quickly, his mother turned on the hot water that hit him directly in his face, causing severe burns.
How about the cold water? That would have done it.
Yeah, cold water.
Now, Mom was able to get away.
And not left burns.
But Tommy would later tell her that he was just playing.
Oh. I was just playing, Mom.
Why are you mad? Why you got to be like that?
Come in the shower and I got a boner and I start filling you up. And
I'm just playing.
Yeah.
Why are you so uptight about everything? God.
Later in 1977... Tommy came home from school to discover his whole family had moved out of the trailer without goodbye.
You know, there's only so much feeling up that somebody needs to deal with.
It's like, you know what? Leave that little mother try to fuck her here.
Yeah.
I'm not.
So at 13, he was now on his own. He stayed in the empty trailer for a while, but.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, but then he had to leave because he ran out of food, so he eventually he stopped attending school, and by age 14 he was traveling across the country, and he would continue the rest of his life going from place to place, and that's why it's kind of difficult to do the research on this because this guy's all over the place. He's killing people all over the country, and it's hard to keep track a good timeline, but I think I got one together. But anyway. He was traveling across the country, a boy posing as a man, hopping trains, stealing, and doing what he had to do to survive. For the next 21 years, from 1978 to 1999, Tommy crisscrossed the country by hopping freights, hitching rides, or stealing cars. I think we'll get into this later, but he was arrested for DWI like over 20 times during his life.
Damn.
Well, I mean, that sounds... a lot. But
it is a lot.
But I mean, then you realize he killed over 22 people, so it kind of puts it in perspective.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, he was hopping trains. What the fuck was he
doing? Oh, he was, I mean, he was
doing everything. Glenn Campbell driving down the road on his fucking, on his lawnmower?
George Jones.
Thank you.
Driving
all right.
Down the road on his
He spent time in most of the states in the country. Begging for work, he worked as a carny, a barber, a mechanic,
And who's not worked as a carny?
And a laborer. Well, I think he probably worked at the little, he might have ran the Scrambler. Remember
the
that ride?
Scrambler.
I don't
I'm
think
telling
you can run the Scrambler if you're 14.
Oh, maybe not.
Yeah,
maybe
but they don't know. Remember, he's just doing whatever.
Posing
he's
as posing. A man.
He's a poser.
Maybe he worked the ring toss.
I'm telling you, he worked the little dart thing where you have to pop the balloons.
Or the little ducks that you pick up and turn over and get a number. God, winner every time.
That's bullshit. That's a bullshit lie.
It's a winner every time.
I turn my duck over, it says, fuck you.
You know what you got to do is you got to – if I can always win in that game because what you got to do
– there's a winner every time.
No,
you
sit there and
you pay
a
dollar
you
for
watch.
A little piece of plastic watch.
It's like that, you know, three-card Monty thing. And you watch, and eventually somebody's going to pick a winner. And then you watch him put that duck back in, and you follow it around, and you give it about another half hour, and then you walk up, and you know which duck it is, and you win.
Look, I don't go to the carnival.
You really should.
Well, I will.
Well, you're from Lebanon. Every day is a carnival.
Every day is a carnival up there. But here's the thing. First of all, the only reason I go is for the elephant ears. So eventually I end up paying like $20 for an elephant ear. Yeah. So it gets fucked on that. But I don't ride the rides because I refuse to ride anything that can pass me on the expressway. Yeah, I can't do it.
You don't ride the Scrambler?
Not at the fair, no. Not at the fair, not at a carnival, no.
Every ride at the carnival should be called the Wheel of Death.
Yeah.
Yeah, you really roll the dice when you go.
You see the news yesterday that the train carrying the 60 old people? Or
no, it was a bus carrying
60 old people got hit by a train.
Yeah.
On the way to the casino.
I know.
I would say their luck didn't hold out, but no, I mean, but you wonder how does that, I don't know. It's a tragic thing. It's a tangent, but how the fuck do
they let people kill them?
Four.
Oh, only four, and it knocked the train. It had like 50 old people on it. It knocked it 300 feet down the tracks. So I'm thinking, you know, this sumbitch had to tumble. So
I'm not sure you can use the adjective old to describe people anymore.
Yeah, people like me.
Your peers.
My peers. And but I'm thinking 300 yards or whatever knocked people down.
It's more than one.
And
more
only
people.
Four people got killed.
Yeah. No, it was a miracle. Yeah. It was a miracle there wasn't more.
Okay, Brandy, what happens next with young Tommy Lynn Sells?
So precise account of his findings, like you said, was impossible because he was moving all over the place. He didn't keep a crime diary.
No, he did not, and we would appreciate if he did. Any potential serial killers out? Amber?
Yeah, Amber and Jen. Yeah.
Please, Justin. Document.
Justin, could you leave us a private message when you're doing shit?
If I only kill two and it's live, I think that is sort of a...
No, but
that's
keeping
a record of it. Yeah. I mean, it's making a record of it.
Yeah,
and then I don't have to write.
But you're not a serial killer if you just kill me and Chuck. You would have to kill more.
Yeah,
and you'd have to space them out.
Some people haven't come.
You'd have to have a cooling off period, and then you'd have to kill somebody else. But once you killed that other one,
you know what? Though you've known me long enough, is there ever really a cooling off?
But that's
for
the
me?
Whole thing. You never really have one.
If you're only going to kill one person, eat them because then you'll get a podcast made about you.
Yeah, just one.
I don't know.
Yeah, you have. I mean, you have to be a cannibal. If you can't be a serial killer, you'll be a cannibal. That's my. You know, I live by that motto, Colonel.
Chuck would be a little gamey. I feel like Chuck would be a little gamey.
Yeah. Now, look at this. You know this is all... Take a look. All this is marbled. You know it's going to be marbled and...
Just like eating an ear or something.
Like a nice, big kernel steak.
You know what else you could gamey. Do? What you could do to get you become a topic of a podcast is that you don't have to eat him, but if you cut him up and, like, sell him as ground meat or something...
No. You know how I get to be the topic of a podcast is killing you two on a podcast...
Yeah,
that would be
like Christine Chubbuck, almost like that. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so anyway.
I'm just going to go on the record.
So now I'm giving it away.
This came out right after our podcast, you know, her thing that she shot herself. Mm-hmm. I believe the film's fake. I think the footage is fake.
But if they know you, I don't think Insight could cover it because it's not a mystery. So maybe like Sword and Scale would cover it, or Generation
cover what?
Y,
oh,
when you kill somebody.
Oh, I think Charlie and Allie would cover it.
No, because it's a non-mystery.
Well, no, Allie it would not be a mystery.
Allie would cover it just for fun.
Maybe Nina would cover it, and Already Gone or Marissa and Vanished. Another mystery.
I want to be on Just
Us
Girls.
Between Us Girls would
be. Between Us Girls.
Yeah, they might cover it.
I would do an interview for them.
All right.
All right. So later on, Sells would claim that his first murder occurred when he was 15 in Mississippi. He was waiting to rob a house and saw a man molesting a child and claims to have killed him because of the molestation. Seriously. So this guy's going to be the champion.
Oh, he's the Avenger now.
Yeah.
He's the molester Robin Hood. Avenger, yeah.
Later evidence indicated, shockingly, that there was no molestation.
But he killed him anyway.
Well, you know.
You can never be too careful.
There was molestation potential.
Yeah.
In 1980, when Sells was 16, he killed a man with an ice pick near a Chinese restaurant in Los Angeles.
Wonder what you're doing with an ice pick in Los Angeles, Colonel.
You never know when you run across a block of ice.
I know, but
Southern California.
Yes.
That's, okay.
Because that's what you have to do.
I mean, a sand
you
shovel,
have to be,
something
look,
like that, I no. can see. Flip-flop, beat him to death with a flip-flop.
You
got to
be packing and ready to go at the drop of a hat. You never know.
You know, ice picks, though, they're not that easy to kill people with.
I would think an ice pick to the eye would be pretty easy.
No, you know what happens? If you're not careful, the handle breaks. And then the pick gets stuck in the person's head.
But I'll tell you what's easy to kill someone with. Pitchfork.
Yes.
Hey, you got four shots.
You got four shots, and if it's a varmint, like a possum,
so
you can stick a
they're
varmint.
They're good for monsters like Frankenstein, too.
They are
only if you have a torch with it.
And
let me tell you something, and I know you haven't watched it yet.
Wasn't it touching when Frankenstein helped that little girl and they were going to burn
it? It was very touching.
And he was nice to the blind guy.
No, let me tell you something.
That's
and
some
this
bullshit
is how
there. That's mob behavior.
Frankenstein's misunderstood.
Yeah, he was.
And first of all, it's Frankenstein's monster, you illiterate shit.
I'm talking about Frankenstein himself.
You are
he
not.
He was misunderstood.
Anyway, it's Frankenstein.
Nice knockers.
Anyway.
Big knockers.
Anyway.
I'm not sure about his wife, though, because she wasn't that attractive, Frankenstein monster's wife.
No.
The Bride of Frankenstein?
Wasn't. I'd probably do it.
Well,
I mean,
she needed better hair.
And she needed breasts. She didn't really have knockers.
None, no. Yeah, because
if you're going to make a woman.
Yeah. If you're going to create one from scratch,
yeah.
Do better than a beak.
No,
cup.
This is how fucked up this thing has got me. This here.
What?
Is that I'm watching The Walking Dead this past weekend.
I gave up on that show. I'm done with it.
Okay. So I'm watching The Walking Dead this past weekend. And one of the characters goes and starts killing all these walkers with, like, one of those. And they are, funny enough, they are at a carnival.
Mm-hmm.
And
fucking carnies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They get a lot of pussy, the carnies do.
They do. They get laid.
But he's killing
them.
They
got them. Love and hate.
You know those hooks?
Tattooed across
well,
their
yeah,
knuckles.
They do. You know those hooks that they get stuff down off the whatever?
Yeah.
He's killing them
the
with one of those. Yeah.
Like the prizes.
He's killing
stuffed
zombies
animals.
With one of those hooks. And I'm thinking, well, no, you can't do that because it would get stuck and it would do this.
Yeah.
But he was doing it, so whatever. But, yeah, that's how fucked up this has got me is that I'm sitting there like, no, that can't happen. Cause it
remember on the ring toss, they have this long pole with all these rings on
yeah.
it? Yeah. I like to get one of those.
What the fuck was the point of that? Of course the ring toss.
You know,
with the
and they had the thing where
the
they
change
had
the belt?
The change belt, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't really a belt. It was like more like a
cloth sack.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
was a fanny pack.
Yeah, well.
Oh, no, I know what you're talking
yeah,
about.
It's
yeah,
it's more of a
apron.
Well, those are your
apron.
Yeah,
apron.
Those are more your lower
yeah.
carnivals
yeah.
that, you know. The good ones,
but
they have change belts.
Carnies get laid a lot.
I understand. I understand.
Because, you know, they're worldly. They mm-hmm. come in town. They
yeah.
leave.
They've been to Arizona.
Yeah, they get free.
They've been to Arizona.
They have been. Most of them have been there. So
yeah, they've been
they
to
get
Arizona.
You free cotton candy. I mean,
mm-hmm. oh,
well,
yeah.
you can't go wrong.
You get
ply me with some free elephant ears.
I'll tell you what. You get to the funnel cake stand.
Oh.
You got women throwing themselves.
Funnel
sure.
cake or lemon shake-ups. Either one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But you know Brandy do it for a funnel cake. Tell me you wouldn't, devil.
Oh, I didn't
tell me
say,
you wouldn't
I just,
sleep with somebody for...
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I'd sleep with somebody for a funnel
cake. Well, I bet Lanny.
I could skip that line.
I bet Lanny worked yeah. in a carnival
I could
before.
Skip the fucking line for a funnel cake. That would... Lanny doesn't work for a carnival.
I would like. I like the roundup. Remember the roundup where you stood up and it was a ride?
Oh, no, okay.
Oh,
true
where
story.
They did the thing and
yeah.
just went round.
My uncle was a pastor. Minister, Baptist, hardcore Baptist minister. And I used to spend the summers with him. And I ain't lying now. The man did not have, the only indoor plumbing he had was running cold water. So there was this, the bathroom.
Sounds like a great summer.
We didn't know any better. You know, we were little kids. Yeah. I came from the projects. So I thought it was a nice area. You live down in Milford right now. before it was all developed, and you went to the bathroom on this chair that had this big bucket underneath it. And every night, me and my cousin had to empty the bucket down in the creek. But
it's a piss bucket, you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, and a dump bucket too. Okay. I mean, you sat on the chair. But feces. Anyway, once a year, he took everybody to Kings Island.
Yeah.
And that's when they called it the rota.
Yeah.
And we was on the rota, and as it was spinning,
this is a ride.
My uncle, you'd lean against the wall, it would spin around, centrifugal force, and then the floor would drop out.
Yeah. Yes.
My the uncle floor would drop. Threw up on the rota.
Ew.
And it hit everybody on the ride.
Ew.
Because he leaned himself forward and hurled, and it just went, eek! And everybody got a little string up. Heaving on them.
That's an amazing story.
You know what? That's why you have to be careful not throw up on the paratroopers, because when you throw up, the time you get down to where the vomit catches up with you and hits you right in the face.
No.
All right.
But no, it was the weirdest thing. I never thought it was strange that the only water we had, and they had goats.
That says more about you.
They had goats and
had goats.
The only milk we had was goat milk. Drank goat milk all the time. The
only sex they had was with goats.
You know,
they ate goat yogurt.
Are you sure that you were actually milking the goat?
I don't know what I was doing. I did what they told me to do. I was like 9 years old. I was chopping firewood and shit. Yeah. They gave me axes.
All right. So this guy.
They gave me axes.
This guy.
Yeah.
In 1980. He killed the guy with an ice pick near a Chinese restaurant. In Oakland, a few days later, he tangled in a gang-related fight in which he almost killed another man and was hurt himself. Motherfucker, what? He's going to Oakland and messing with Oakland gangs, for real?
Well, remember, like he was born in Oakland, remember? He was born in Oakland.
Yeah, but still.
He about to go to shoot a man in Reno.
He went to the hospital and later cussed out two nurses after they insisted that they insert a catheter.
That's fair, Colonel.
If it ain't for fun.
He probably didn't even need it. They're probably just being...
Yeah.
You know.
Didn't the last guy we had...
Yeah, there was a catheter thing going on.
He left the hospital after learning that his mother was... This says leaving. I'm guessing it's living near Little Rock, Arkansas. So he hitchhiked home from Oakland to Little Rock, Arkansas.
Yeah.
Hitchhiked home so that his mother could nurse him back to health.
And this is the mother who the whole family moved away when he was this
old. Right. She reluctantly took him back in.
She's just been taking showers.
Well, right.
Yeah. If I let you in, you can't try to bang me. All right.
You gotta keep it in your pants.
Yeah.
You gotta be a never nude.
It's okay. You know, like with Logan, we got a curfew. You know, it's like you got a curfew.
You have to set some boundaries.
Yeah. With this kid, it's like no banging your mom.
Yeah.
Well, 2 days after he didn't listen because 2 days after he moved back in. He once again climbed into the shower with his mother, who doesn't clearly have a lock on her bathroom door. She beat him and yelled at him until he ran out of the house. There we go.
That's just some sick shit right there.
Dumbass.
Yeah, he's a pretty sick dude.
In 1982, when he was 18, he started dating 16-year-old Cindy Hanna from Little Rock, Arkansas. Cindy's parents, understandably, strongly disapproved of Sells for numerous reasons.
Especially to mama.
Including,
when he crawled in the shower with her.
Well, including...
Crawled in bed with her grandmother.
Oh, well, if they knew about that.
Except that granny liked it.
Well, he stole from the church in which they belong.
Oh,
the unmarried couple had a child. Hmm. To support his baby boy, he turned to home invasions. In May of 1983, Sells burglarized a home near Little Rock. There, he shot the homeowner, Mike Brenner, who lived. Oh. Sells was never charged with this offense. Sure. But later would claim responsibility. On July 21st, 1983, a man matching Sells' description was seen leaving the home of Thomas and Colleen Gill. The bodies of Colleen and the couple's 4-year-old daughter, Tiffany, were found beaten to death. Sells was interviewed by police but never formally charged in the murders. On May 8th, 1984, Sells was arrested for stealing a car. He was convicted of auto theft and sentenced to 2 years in prison.
I mean, at this point, he's 20 years old.
Right.
So he's doing all this as a teenager.
Damn, this is early stuff.
Yeah. While in prison, psychopath. Cindy gave birth to Sell's second child, a little girl. On February 18th, 1985, Sells was paroled from prison. 2 months later, in April, he was arrested and convicted of grand theft auto and sentenced to 9 months in prison.
Well, he learned his lesson, apparently.
Yeah. You know. All right. So he was paroled again on December 12th, 1985. Once he was released, he abandoned his family. He abandoned his girlfriend and two kids and took a job as a carny, moving from state to state.
He doesn't seem like the type that you could build a stable relationship.
It doesn't seem that way. No.
Let me I know you're just one page into about six, right?
Yes.
But let me just commend you. She doesn't seem so... She seemed like she's a little more into this one than...
Whenever you're talking about...
So far, your performance is a little bit better than it was on the last
When you're talking
podcast.
About serial killers, you get a little spark in her eye.
You do. You get a little live. Yeah, there's brings a little light
to it. Well, you know, we had two choices to do today. I have two scripts ready to go, and one was a tragic young person losing their life.
Yeah, she'd have been all like blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, serial killer. She's that one. That's the one we're doing.
Yeah, let's do this one. Yeah, so I just wanted to, you know,
it's good that you
International
enjoy your
Women's Day.
Yeah.
And I want to recognize your efforts in bringing Timmy's prose to life.
Thank you, Colonel.
So,
actually, this is not Timmy's prose. I'm going through and just correcting all the. Yeah, I'm editing all the shit. It's not his prose. All right. So in January 1986, Sells claimed that while he was working for Atlas Towing in St. Louis, well, then that doesn't make him a carny, does it? He received a call from a hooker whose car had broken down. When he arrived at the vehicle, of course, he suggested sex in lieu of paying for the towing cost.
Well, that's fair, Colonel.
When she said...
First of all, did she call and say, yeah, I'm a hooker, my car's broke down?
I don't know. But she declined his generous offer, so he shot her and threw her body into the river. They never found her body. So, in May of 1986, a transient named William T. Russell was killed by being thrown off a train near Dallas, Texas. Sells would later confess to killing Russell for waking him up while he was trying to sleep in the rail car. Fuckers.
I don't blame him. It's hard to sleep in a rail car.
I don't blame him.
You do not want to sleep in a rail car because there's so much raping going on.
Well, you have to call
no
rapesies before you go to sleep. Yeah.
But, you know, seriously, I mean, so this is, he's just killing men, women, children, whatever.
Whoever seems to get in his way. So in July of 1986, Sells was working for a carnival in Forsyth, Missouri, a town of about 1,000 on Table Rock Lake near Branson. Then it was emerging as a country music center. Among the visitors to the fair is it Ina Court?
Yes.
35, a petite divorcee who scraped by working at a car wash. She was treating her
working
4-year-old.
At the car wash.
Nope.
She was working as a car washer.
You know, I think did I hear that Jim Croce wrote that song?
I don't know. Look it up.
All right.
I'm going to look it up now, Timmy. You know,
so,
I'm the researcher.
She was treating her 4-year-old son.
Yeah, I can do a lot of research for this podcast.
She was treating her 4-year-old son, Rory, to a night out. By Sell's account, he met Court at the fair, and she had invited him back to her home late that night. The authorities found the bodies of the woman and her child 3 days later. Bludgeoned. Oof. The way Sells later told the story, he had consensual sex with Court. Then he found her stealing from his backpack because he had so much. He picked up her son's wooden baseball bat and beat her to death, then killed the child because he was a potential witness. There's no telling what really happened. Perhaps he ogled her at the fair, stalked her home, raped and murdered her. On October 15, 1986, Sells returns to prison on a parole violation. He was driving while intoxicated. Over the course of his lifetime, Sells would be arrested 27 times for DUI. On May 1st, 1987, Sells murdered 27-year-old Suzanne Corks outside of a Niagara Falls bar. Her remains were found 8 years later in 95, only 2 miles away from the bar. On October 16, 1987, Sells strangles...
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
24-year-old Stephanie Stroh near Winnemucca, Nevada. But perhaps Tommy Lynn Sells' most horrific crimes occurred a month later on November 18, 1987, when Sells murdered the entire Dardeen family in Ina, Illinois. Sells shot 20-year-old Russell Dardeen, then proceeded to go rape Russell's pregnant
different
wife.
Car wash, Timmy.
Okay, it's a different song.
Yeah.
I knew he wrote a song about a car wash.
Hello.
Working at the car wash blues.
I'm kind of in the middle of a thing.
I'm sorry. I'm doing some research for a Jim Croce podcast.
That's clutch.
Right.
Okay, so he shoots the guy, proceeds to rape his pregnant wife, who was 29. After he rapes her, Sells beats her and her 3-year-old son Peter to death with a ball bat. Keith Dardeen's body was found the next night by hunters in a farm field. He'd been shot in the head 3 times and his body had been mutilated with a knife.
Ugh.
Being several months pregnant, Ruby gave birth during the beating. Sells also beat the newborn to death.
God, what a guy.
Jesus Christ, this is a fucking monster right here.
Yeah, and there was like no rhyme or reason. He was just, anyone he came in contact with was in danger.
And it's like being in contact with Chuck. You could die at any time. In September of 1988, a Salem, New Hampshire girl named Melissa Ann Tremblay.
If you need any help with pronunciations, I'll be happy to give you some.
Timmy can help you out.
Yeah.
If you're unclear on enunciation,
Timmy, I'll be happy to work with you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Timmy, well, I guess you was expecting to give me more pages because you gave her the 3-syllable words in there. But go ahead.
Yeah, I did get
this. This is what we're doing.
Go ahead.
It's my day. It's International.
It is your day.
Women's
let me,
day.
Let me, you know what?
You're, it's my day.
You are an intelligent, strong woman.
Yeah,
she has boobs.
I have boobs.
Yeah, boobs, and you're smart enough to know that if you blow your economics teacher, you get a C+.
I didn't get a C+. God damn you, people!
What, C? C minus?
No,
C
minus. Jesus Christ! All right.
Then seriously, what if you bang your economics perfect? What kind of grade do you get? Do you think the grade you got was the grade you deserved, or do you think he maybe kicked it up a point or two because you had sex with him? I mean, honest, it's 30 years ago. What do you think?
Well, first of all, it was 20 years ago, you cocksucker.
Okay, 20 years ago. What do you think? Do you think he gave you, like, a pumped you up a little bit?
Look, I slept with him long after I had him for class. So, blow me. All right, so this
so
little new...
touchy.
This little new...
Yeah.
Really? Washington? Really?
I've got an interview coming up.
I know you do.
He's going big time now.
All right, Melissa Ann Tremblay.
I am going to trash you guys on this podcast.
That's hurtful. Melissa Ann Tremblay disappeared and was later discovered to be dead laying on a railroad track. The girl was seen at a convenience store parking lot before she disappeared, talking to a man that matched Sells' description.
I'm glad it was Sells' description because I picture Snidely Whiplash.
Well, true. And, you know, Sells' description is probably, you know, wiry, mangy.
Yeah, he's
no
like
teeth.
Lanny.
He's, you know, he's a carny. Sells had been in Salem during this time. Also around this time.
Why does Nile Whiplash always tie women to railroad tracks for?
How do you tie women to railroad tracks? There's nothing to tie to. You got to
thank God for Dudley Do-Right.
Huh?
Thank God for Dudley Do-Right.
No, Dudley didn't even have to do anything. How in the fuck do you tie someone to a railroad track? There's no.
Well, he just kind of tied them up and then he laid them on the railroad track.
I think that's what you have to do, but then they wiggle off.
Maybe.
Unless
if they're conscious.
Unless you use chloroform.
Unless they're unconscious.
Yeah. But Dudley would always show up in time with his horse.
Yes, he did.
No, I mean, when I was a little kid, I watched that. And then one day I took grab somebody, thought, you know, I'm going to tie this motherfucker to a railroad track. Got all the way down there.
Really?
Got my rope, had him everything.
Really?
You
stand by me?
You can't tie it to nothing. Yeah. There ain't nothing to tie it to.
All right.
But what was the deal with Nile Whiplash? He didn't like women, I guess.
Twas Moose and Squirrel.
Twas Moose and Squirrel. That's
Boris and
Boris
Natasha.
And Natasha.
Yeah, they're communists.
Yeah. Twas Moose and Squirrel. All right. This time, about this time in the fall of 1980.
But that little dog was fucking smart. You know, that
Peabody and his pet boy Sherman.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was. He had a pet boy.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead.
So Sal starts a relationship with 24-year-old Melissa Breckenridge in Springfield, Missouri. She had a 3-year-old son at the time. Let's see. Sal uses the 3-year-old boy and his mother to try and get pity from people to gain money. After begging, they all went on a road trip in the black van that Sal had stolen. The mother and the child never returned. Mm. On December 18th, 1988, Sal murdered a 51-year-old transient named Kent Allen Lawton in Tucson, Arizona, in a dispute over marijuana. Mm, yeah.
Well, you know.
Sal's cut.
Probably get some more of that. Ragweed.
Yeah.
Ditchweed.
Sells cut Lawton's throat and left her alone to bleed out in a rest area. So Kent is a woman? Kent Allen? I think it's a boy.
All
right. On Christmas Eve, December 24th, 1988, Sells is arrested for assault but released when the victim, 23-year-old Kimberly Nash, would not file a complaint. Sells had beat Nash with his fist and tried to strangle her to death.
Damn.
Why the fuck would she not? Whatever.
I'm telling you, this guy is sick.
On January 24th, 1989, he claims he killed a prostitute in Truckee, Nevada, when the prostitute turned out to be a man rather than a woman.
Oh, see, you got to tell that shit up front.
No remains were ever found to substantiate this claim, but authorities believe it.
You know, you got to tie it down, Colonel.
Well, here's my question, though, when it comes to that. If you walk up, if you pull up and you say, hey, you know, how much for a blowjob? And it's a man dressed as a woman, right?
Yeah.
You say how much for a blowjob. You're just asking how much for a blowjob.
Right. Buyers, beware.
If you don't get into the specifics, that's on you.
That is on you.
That's on you.
I think it is a
and
buyer.
And either way, I don't think you killed the guy.
Well, no I don't think.
Girl or whatever.
Killing is rarely unless it's, you know.
Colonel Justice.
It's rarely justified.
Yes.
Also in January of 89, Sells claims to have killed two transients in Roseboro, Oregon. So he is, in a month, he's in Nevada and Oregon.
Yeah, he's all over the place. He's all over the map. That's why it was so hard to do the research on this. Of course, you guys don't know. You don't do the research on these things. But for those of us who do, it was very difficult.
He claims to have picked them up hitchhiking and shot them both. No bodies were ever found, but they believe the claims to be valid. On May 9th, 1989, Tommy Lee Sells is arrested for stealing some power tools in Arkansas and spent 30 days in jail. He was arrested again for theft in August of 89 and once again spent 30 days in jail. During the next few years, Sells traveled the country either by hitchhiking or riding trains. There were numerous arrests for public intoxication, DUIs, and theft. Undoubtedly, there were more assaults as well.
Was he driving a train drunk? Was he the engineer to train?
I don't know. That's why I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Again, driving a tractor.
Do you have a cop train behind you pulling you over? Roo, 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 roo.
I guess.
How could you swerve if you're on the track?
Really, you're making siren sounds now.
Roo, roo, roo.
Pull over. Once, one victim was lucky enough to survive Sal's vicious attacks. Her name was Fabian Witherspoon.
Nice name.
That's a hell of a name. She was 19 years old. She was a nursing student when she met Sells in 1992.
You know, next to hookers.
The year I graduated.
Next to hookers, it seems like nurses are the ones that get killed by serial killers the most.
I wonder why that is.
I don't know, but it seems like it.
You know what? I probably because nurses.
Well, it's a female-dominated occupation, so.
It's a female-dominated occupation, but it's also an occupation that makes them work late hours.
Yeah,
they work late hours, and they'll help.
Yeah, they're helpers.
Yeah, they're helpers. Yeah, they're drawn to people that
are damaged. Mm-hmm. Clearly, I am too. Witherspoon came to
Charleston. I think female podcasters are safe because they do all this true crime, so they kind of know what to look out for.
Oh, Brandy.
Bedwetters.
Brandy
and,
has
and
kicked
fire starters.
Brandy has kicked like six innocent men in the balls on an elevator after 7 p.m.
Just after for the potential.
Let me tell you
just
what.
Just because a guy said, "How are you tonight?"
No. Because if I was going to kick anybody in the balls, and for those of you who are not friends with me on Facebook, I had an experience at the BMV. Was that motherfucker there sitting next to me with his flip phone and his fucking hat?
He had a flip phone? That's fucking cool.
He did have a flip phone.
Motherfucker was cool back in the 90s.
Well, yes, he was, but, you know, but Monday or Tuesday, he was sitting way too close to me.
Oh, he was getting friendly?
I don't know what he was doing, but he was practically on my lap, and I didn't like it. So,
and normally you don't mind such a thing.
I do mind it all the time.
For those who don't notice,
not like
the devil is very
space.
Weird of a personal space. And by personal space, I mean like a 10-foot diameter.
Half a city block.
Just being in her office makes her uncomfortable.
First of all, it's not true. It's not that bad. But, you know, it's personal space, and he was all up in mine, and I don't know him, and he had a weird hat on.
So what was your response?
Well, my first response was to post it on Facebook.
Oh, well, yeah.
And then we got...
Facebook shaming.
He was there just long enough to really piss me off, and then we got called up.
Wow.
So,
too bad.
I would have kicked him in the balls.
Now, I've noticed this. This is... Here's a trick that you can use. If you're in Chicago... the homeless people and the panhandlers, they're very interactive. And I taught my boys a trick to help you. And what happens is these guys will come up to you and they will get very close into your space, into your personal space. And it's a way to kind of intimidate you.
Uh-huh.
And I told the boys what you do is when they get into your space, lean into theirs. Get into theirs more.
Uh-huh.
Because you're in the face of someone who had... tuna breath.
But it fucks them up and they think you're crazy.
At best.
No, it does. It honestly, it makes them scared. It makes them very uneasy because you're not backing away. You're leaning in and they think that you're something's wrong with you.
They had spam for lunch. Do you really want to do that?
At best.
I'm telling you, the best way to handle one.
If I'm ever in Chicago and somebody comes up to me after I kick them in the nuts.
Is it only Chicago or does it work anywhere?
It works down here too because I always go to Findlay Market. Okay. When people get into my personal space, I lean right back. I get closer to them. And as soon as I do, Timmy, they start backing up.
You know, we always joke about the knockout game.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm walking down the street downtown Cincinnati and this guy, maybe like 26 or something, young guy. And he goes out of his way, and he kind of, like, tries to throw his shoulder at me. You know, I'm, like, I'm walking one direction, he's walking the other. Right. I don't know why. He's probably crazy or stuff. And so I just kind of dodge him and walk on. But, you know, I'm thinking, I could have made a deal, big deal out of that.
He would have killed you.
He could have killed me, or at the least, the worst, it would be a shouting match or something. And then I'm thinking... No, I'll just go home. My life goes on. And this idiot's still walking around downtown throwing his shoulders at people.
Now, see, I had that happen to me walking by myself, Timmy. And
of course he did.
It's back when remember when it was not so uncool to wear the Blackberries?
Third asshole.
You know, on a belt.
Mm-hmm.
I had my Blackberry on my belt, and I'm walking down. There's three guys, younger guys.
Do you have the earpiece in your ear so that
No, I was walking back from the UDF.
You could get Secret Service messages.
I had a bag in one hand and all of a sudden, they scoot over, you know, so I got room to walk around. But at the last minute, one kind of, like, throws himself into me. I'm like, what the fuck is this? And he's reaching and grabbing for my BlackBerry, but he can't get it off, and I kind of shoved him away. And then all of a sudden, there's this awkward, like, maybe 2 seconds where we're just, like, staring at each other.
Yeah.
Like, well, what happens now? You know, what happens now? And I thought, well, fuck, you know, I'm 40 years old. I'm too old to run from you motherfuckers. What do you expect me to do? So you know, it played. But, you know,
as you get older, I mean, like when you were, if I was younger and that happened, it meant, you know, I probably got pissed off or whatever. When you get older, you figure, this shit doesn't matter. I'll just go home.
No, it mattered to me because there was...
I watch TV. My life goes on.
You are wrong, and he's going to tell you why.
I'm going to tell you why, because there were three of them.
Yeah, well, I'm not the colonel.
And they were, they did not appear that this incident was over.
Yeah.
So I just... And here's some advice.
I'm just saying, here's some advice. Don't engage that type of behavior. Because you know what? You got a good life. You got a beautiful wife. You got great kids. You go home. You're living a great life. They're living on the street. You engage that behavior, you're going to end up shanked, bleeding out on Main Street downtown.
Well, my theory on this was,
and you're going to die a fucking idiot, because we're not even going to go to your funeral because you're going to be such a dumbass to get in a fight over a BlackBerry.
I just want to talk about Fabian Witherspoon.
I did not want these three men to jump on me, so I struck one of them, and another one ran.
Is that a dumbass or what?
But here's the funny part to me. Here's the funny part of this.
Did you bleed out?
So the first guy falls down. The second guy runs away. So the third one's maybe 110 pounds, Timmy.
It's fucking Tom Cruise over here.
And it's very awkward because he's standing there looking at me like, okay, now his friend's done run off. His other friend's laying on the ground. And he's like, what do I do? And I'm like, the fuck are you going to do? Well, by this time, it's right by, you know, Chevy is loaded with bars.
Uh-huh.
And all these guys come running out of this bar, you know, and I'm like, oh, I think you better get moving along. I think I better get moving along. So I've moved along down the road. But just if you get accosted by homeless people, panhandlers, they get a little aggressive. They just get into their space.
Just walk away. Brandy, Tom Cruise... What was that movie he was in?
Mission Impossible?
No.
Reacher? Movies?
Jack Reacher. He's not a badass. I don't know why they keep trying to make him a badass.
I don't know.
And that kills me, Timmy, because I've read all the books.
Uh-huh.
And in the books, the whole premise is built around this guy being 6'4" and 240 pounds.
And not a 5'5" Scientologist.
Yeah. I refuse to watch the movies.
Yeah. Okay, Brandy. Continue. Tell us about what's her name? What's her name?
Come on, stay on point here, devil.
What's her name?
Her name's Fabian Witherspoon.
Yes, Miss Witherspoon.
Wonder if she was related to Reese Cup Witherspoon.
So she came to Charleston, West Virginia, a few months before Sells in '92.
I've been in Charleston before.
She was fiance, an Army man, she'd met while living on an Air Force base with her parents in Tacoma, Washington. Born in 1972 in Lakenheath, England, Witherspoon grew up on Air Force bases around the world. She graduated from high school in Bremerhaven, Germany. Witherspoon said that her and her fiancé planned eventually to settle down in the Charleston area. When he left for training in Alabama, Witherspoon stayed behind with his family. Her fiancé's mother, who worked for the state, suggested one day that Witherspoon might get a little privacy if she watched her boss's cat at a Grove Avenue apartment, and Witherspoon took her up on the offer.
Well, she probably said privacy.
Yeah.
Because she was...
No, she was... I think she was American. She just grew up on
She was American. She just grew up on Air Force
Base. But I think the
woman
that she was talking to was English.
Hmm. No.
So she said privacy.
I don't think you researched that at all. I think you're just saying...
She wasn't.
Making shit up.
She'd been staying at the Grove Avenue apartment for only a day on May 13th, 1992, when she saw Sells panhandling in the Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington Street area. Witherspoon had walked to a job interview with Clinique Cosmetics that day and was excited about the prospect of working at Town Center. She thought she might have been pregnant and had a test done at the health department on Lee Street. It turned out negative, so I'm not exactly sure why we included it. Well, she was on her way back to Grove Street.
It was a big day for her.
She was on the way back to Grove Street, dodged a bullet, when she saw the killer with a crudely lettered sign.
How did when you take out home
ding,
pregnancy?
Ding, 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 ding. I got a question.
God damn it.
How many pregnancy tests have you taken and dodged a bullet, devil?
Oh, God. Plenty.
Did you buy them by the gross?
I had to buy them at Costco.
Every time you peed in high school, was you peeing on
a
stick?
What does it mean if the test is positive? Isn't that really kind of your own perspective, whether it's positive or negative?
Yeah, that's subjective.
Well, sure. It's very existential.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Thank you, Randy.
All right.
So you know how to operate a pregnancy test.
I do know
well.
My way around a pregnancy test, okay. Yeah.
How many pregnancies have you sweated through that never come to fruition?
I don't know. Enough.
Yeah. Well, that's scary, isn't it?
Enough. Well, and then, but then when I wanted to have a baby, I couldn't get pregnant to save my ass. Yeah. But had I been sleeping with some random stranger in the back of a Trans Am.
A carny.
What you have to do is you have to say, now don't forget to pull out, Dave. Don't forget to pull out. Don't forget to pull out. Even though you're faking the whole body, you're tricking your body.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, once the ovaries here pull out, they get all active and stuff.
No,
and
what's funny is,
you put your feet in the air and you shake.
No. What's funny is, though,
reverse
that
cowgirl.
I got pregnant right after I lost my job. Of course.
God gives with one hand.
Yeah. Right.
God takes away with both hands.
Yeah, he did. But it's all good because I have Noah. Let's see. She was on her way back to the apartment when she saw the killer with a crudely lettered sign. He'd played on people's sympathies in the past, and the sign was his way of getting close to potential victims. I will work for food, it said. Hmm. She asked him if he was hungry and if he had a family. See, that's why you can't talk to them. You don't engage.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Don't engage.
He's the one telling you to get in their personal
Except,
space.
There are guys that are down at the Reds game that play the bucket.
Oh, those bucket boys.
I engage with them. They're good.
Yeah, but they're good. I mean, they're professional.
But they're entertaining.
I know. They're not professional.
No, they do. They play for the bucket boys. They play in all kinds of places.
Okay, no. This is not them. This is like random homeless guy with a bucket playing a tune.
There's a reggae guy down there plays. Okay. But he plays professionally too.
If you're willing to sit down there in the heat and beat on a bucket, I'll give you a buck.
I'll give you a buck.
You know what? There was like two of those guys, and there was like three homeless guys, and with the sign, I'm hungry, feed me, whatever. And I'm walking in between them on the ramp that runs from
somebody
downtown.
Give you money.
Ran Tell downtown to the stadium. No, I looked down. There's a $100 bill on the ground. I picked it up.
Well, yeah, you pick it up and keep that shit moving. Hell yeah, you do.
I mean, it was in like 15 feet of on either side of these guys. It's right in the middle.
Hell
of the
yeah,
side
you
wall.
Did. All right, so he will work for food, and she's asking him questions. So Sells whips out a picture of his three kids and says that he and his kids and his wife were all homeless and living under a bridge. Of course.
The wife and kids that he probably killed by this point.
Right. Witherspoon said the woman was cat-sitting. Mm-hmm. The woman that she was cat-sitting for had bought some junk food for her, and she didn't want it. So she figured she might as well give it to him.
So this woman was being a good Samaritan. And
the two of them started walking to Grove Avenue. On the way, they stopped at a Go-Mart, and she said she bought Sells a newspaper so he could scan the Help Wanted ads.
Oh, she's really going above and beyond.
Yeah, that's why you don't help people.
Exactly. In the apartment, such a bad idea, sweetie. Witherspoon told Sells to wait outside, and she went in and packed up the food. He asked if there was anyone else in the apartment. She said no. She figured he was thirsty and took him to buy a Coke, and by the time she brought it to him, Sells was inside the front door.
Ugh.
She asked Sells if he needed anything else, and he said his wife needed underwear, which she thought was strange, but she wanted him out of the apartment. She walked to a bedroom and started taking underwear out of her suitcase. Meantime, Sells locks the doors, got a steak knife, came into the bedroom and told her to do what he said and she wouldn't get hurt. He repeatedly raped her and then took her into the shower to rape her again. Loves the showers.
Oh, God.
In the bathroom, she said she surprised him by grabbing a ceramic duck about the size of a football and clubbing him on the head.
Oh, there you go.
By the time she was done swinging away, all that was left in her hand was the beak. She took the knife from her dazed assailant.
I beat that motherfucker with everything
with
the beak.
She stabbed him.
Gave him a ducking beating.
She took the knife from her dazed assailant and began stabbing him over and over.
There we go.
She then raced frantically for the front door, but Sells caught her and threw her into a room off the hallway. She landed on the bed face down, cutting her hand open with the knife.
Mm.
Sells took the knife back, tied Witherspoon's hands to her feet with tape, and held the knife to her throat. Witherspoon said that if Sells would just leave, she wouldn't tell anybody. She also said she just found out that she was pregnant and her husband would be home very soon. Witherspoon told police that Sells threatened to cut her voice box out so she wouldn't talk. Sells covered her head with a quilt and made what Witherspoon called a wimpy attempt at smothering her. He picked up a piano stool and beat her unconscious, but she survived. As he was leaving, she remembers him saying, "I can't believe you're still alive." The next thing she remembers is waking up on the front steps of the apartment. She was naked, bloody, and screaming. The police came, and an ambulance took her to the hospital, where she had plastic surgery on her hand and stitches in her head. And a rape counselor met with her later. Sells, who had 18 stab wounds, spent 7 days in the hospital. Witherspoon recovered at her fiancé's mother's house. She sat alone in the bedroom most of the time. "I feel really stupid," she said, "very embarrassed. I just want to hide." Like many rape victims, she wound up feeling as if it was her fault. She kept reliving the attack in her mind, thinking of things she should have done differently. After a while, she went to live with her fiancé in Alabama, and the two married. Witherspoon said they probably jumped into the marriage too quickly, believing perhaps it would help her overcome her problems. She felt that no other man would want her, and the marriage fell apart after a little over a year. After Sells' week in the hospital, he was taken to county jail on Virginia Street. In September of 1992, a Kanawha grand jury indicted him on 5 counts of rape and felony assault.
Man, this poor lady is just trying to
be a good
Samaritan, and now her life's run.
Yeah. 3 days into the trial on June 25th, 1993, Sells pled guilty to the later charge of malicious wounding. Bullshit. The prosecution said it had become aware of inconsistencies in Witherspoon's testimony.
Well, yeah, if someone beats you in the head with a piano stool,
you're probably not going to be a little inconsistent about some things. What was this?
Yet again, he's going to, you know, the rapist is going to just walk with a light sentence.
Yep.
On June 5th, 1993. What? 3 days into the trial on June 25th. Okay. So he's convicted of malicious wounding. The rape charge was dropped, and Sells was sentenced to serve 2 to 10 years in prison. While in prison, Sells was diagnosed as bipolar. During his incarceration, he becomes pen pals with 32-year-old Nora Price. They would marry while Sells was in prison. He was released in 1997 and moved to Tennessee with his wife. And he left her and resumed his cross-country travels. In the pre-dawn morning of October 13, 1997, 10-year-old Joel Kirkpatrick was murdered in the home of his mother, Julie Ray, in the rural town. Well, he was 10.
No, okay. this is a little boy. Yeah, this is particularly sad.
Okay,
so he's murdered in the home of his mother, Julie Ray, in the small rural town of Lawrenceville, Illinois. The boy was stabbed 12 times as he slept in his bed. Ray, who had visitation of Joel that weekend, testified that she was awakened by screams and rushed to her son's room, where she was confronted by an intruder. She fought with the intruder through the house and out into the yard before the intruder left on foot. On October 12, 2000, a Lawrence County grand jury indicted Julie Ray for the murder of her son, and she was taken into custody in Monroe County, Indiana, where she was attending Indiana University in a PhD program. On December 15, 2000, Ray waived extradition to Illinois in exchange for an agreement under which she was released on $500,000 bond. Also, Ray won a change of venue to Wayne County, Illinois.
Yeah, so she's accused of killing her son. This fucked hard.
That's horrible.
The jury trial began on February 21st, 2002 in Wayne County before Lawrence County Circuit Court Judge Robert M. Hopkins. Prosecution's principal evidence against Ray was that she was in the house when the crime happened. Furthermore, they hinted that the motive may have been the bitter custody fight for the boy, who was in the physical custody of his father, with Ray getting weekend visitations. They also claimed that there were no fingerprints on the alleged murder weapon, which later proved not to be the actual weapon. On March 4th, 2002, the jury found Julie Ray guilty, and the judge sentenced her to 65 years in prison.
I mean, what a nightmare that is. You have your son murdered, you're convicted of that murder.
And you know, I've often wondered about that, though, because I think myself, if I had one child, you know, and I'm just thinking Logan or whatever. You know, Logan's 10 years old and somebody murders him. I don't know that I would care much what happened to me after that.
Right. Yeah, it would be.
You know what I mean? Fuck it. You want to send me to prison? You want to put me in a chair? You want to do whatever? Fuck, I don't care. You know, I mean, that. What could be
worse?
What could be worse? Yeah. You know, what can you do to me that's worse than what's already happened to me?
So in 1999, we've jumped here.
So, that's a problem with the story.
I'm going to leave that one off because it doesn't add anything really. But anyway.
Excuse us.
No,
she's the editor in chief now.
No, there's like one sentence. It's confusing.
Well, like I said, the problem was he was jumping all over the country.
Right, right.
He was committing all kind of crimes. Some of them that he may have done, he may have not have done.
So after he's captured, Tommy Lynn Sells confessed that he'd broken into what he presumed to be Ray's home, taken a knife from a butcher block in the kitchen, and stabbed a little boy to death and scuffled with a woman. Julie Ray was exonerated and then released from prison.
If she if she scuffled with the guy all that way,
you'd think
there'd
be some evidence of
something under her nails. Something.
You would think so.
Like they didn't want to investigate that too much.
No, it sounds like they just jumped to the conclusion that it was the parent.
Well, now on New Year's Eve, Timmy, 1999.
I was in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia.
I was at my house with water in my basement, cash in a safe, and all kinds of ammunition because Y2K was going to go straight to hell, and I was prepared for it.
Oh, you're right. I was in there, and I was December 31st, 1998. That's when I was there. Because I was waiting for them. We were in a club, and we was waiting for them to play Party Like It's 1999 by Prince.
Right.
They didn't play it to like the seventh song, which I thought was really dumb. But anyway.
We took. I remember going to the bank and getting some cash out and just. What my biggest concern was.
You know, Y2K. I was hoping like everything would fucking start falling apart, like ATM machines would shoot out money and stuff.
my biggest concern was ATM machines weren't going to work anymore and the banking system was going to be all bitched up and you were going to need cash for groceries.
You know what? If I don't stop walking and getting in good shape like I am, I'm going to have to worry about Y3K. Continue.
Well, in the Guaji Bay subdivision of Del Rio, Texas, Sells slit the throats of 13-year-old Kellyanne Katie Harris and 10-year-old Crystal Searles. Now, Searles survived and received help from neighbors. Sells was apprehended after being identified from a sketch made from the victim's description. Crystal Searles,
where you don't want to get caught is in Texas.
No. She awoke groggy on New Year's Day, her throat heavily bandaged. Texas Rangers and county sheriffs, obviously, they wanted to talk to the girl, but, you know, she was... She was like, let's get this shit going. You know, she was, she started making gestures to give me a pen and pencil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they get her a pen and paper and she began writing descriptions of her assailant. From authorities called in Shirley Timmons, a forensic artist from a home in Midland, to work with Crystal from her San Antonio hospital bed. The first sketch showed a dark-eyed, round-faced man with long brown hair and a full beard. The image resembled a swarthy Chuck Norris.
Swarthy Chuck Norris.
Yeah. Oh, that thing you put up, that Chuck Norris swipe, sniping on.
It's so funny.
Jesus Christ, I laugh so damn hard. And it's hard to laugh when you got a sore gallbladder.
I know.
You're talking about a post that she put up. You got to remember, people do not.
Brandy put a post up on our Facebook page about Chuck Norris sniping ordinary people, and it's just hysterical.
Yes.
So anyway, let me get back to this. The cops, they distribute this image and the description, and they press the Harris family to mull over friends and acquaintances for a match. Nothing was missing from the home. Law enforcement assumed the murder was motivated by sexual deviance, not robbery. They suspected the killer was acquainted with the Harrises before climbing in the window and that Katie Harris had been the target. The two Searles girls were staying in the Harrises while her mother Pam was moving from Kansas to Del Rio over the holiday. The family had been friends in Kansas before the Harrises moved to Texas in 95, and Pam Searles and her daughters are now joining them there. Now, the group left El Rio at about 6 p.m., December 30th, for the 13-hour drive north to collect Searles' belongings. Those on the trip were Terry Harris, the adoptive father of the murder victim, Pam Searles, and her boyfriend, Doug Luther. So that's an odd mix there.
Well, Doug Luper.
Luker.
Yeah, Luker. He based upon his description, he's able to identify cells.
Yeah. That's what I was getting to.
Yeah, I know.
They turned around and rushed back to Texas when they were informed, of course, of the murder and the assault. They, you know, stopped what they was doing. When Luca heard a description and saw the sketch, it reminded him of a man the moving group had seen at a Del Rio gas station just before they left for Kansas. He remembered the man's name as Tommy. He seemed to be a friend of Terry Harris, Luca said, and he worked as a salesman at Amigo Auto Sales.
They're your friends.
Just like his daddy.
Pet boys, Lanny.
Turned into a car salesman. He was just like Mr. Lovins.
Joe Lovins.
Just like Lovins. Joe Lovins. Now, Luca shared his recollections with Texas Ranger John Allen, who tracked down the owner of the car lot by phone. This man was uncooperative with Allen, and one thing you do not want to do is be uncooperative with the
authorities in Texas.
Texas Rangers.
Yes.
He was uncooperative, but he quickly...
That's your Bonnie and Clyde. Bonnie and Clyde, you get by with that shit.
Yeah, but look what happened to him.
Yeah, that's true.
But he quickly reconsidered. Now, he phoned the Valverde County Sheriff's Office and gave a friend there the name of the employee. Rangers searched state crime files and came up with a picture of the man. Beardless, but it was the best they could do. They went to Crystal's room, showed her a photo array of six men. She studied the pictures purposefully and pointed out the intruder.
Yeah, this happened in the hospital.
In the hospital. It was a used car salesman from Del Rio. His name was Tommy Lynn Sells.
They got him now.
Investigators prepared an arrest warrant and paid a visit early on January 2nd to the trailer Sells was now living. He went along without a fight. He didn't ask why he was being taken in, and investigators didn't offer to tell him. But during the ride, to the sheriff's office, he turned to Lieutenant Larry Pope and said, "Well, I guess we got a lot to talk about." Over the next few months, Sells talked and talked and talked about a singular life of killing, Timmy. That's all this man did in life. He was a lifelong transient, and he admitted to the murder of Katie Harris and throat slashing of a friend. He said he killed an entire family in Illinois, a mother and daughter in Missouri, a teenage girl in Lexington, Kentucky, a drifter in Arizona, a child in San Antonio, and he once shot a man in Reno.
No, he did not.
Just to watch him
die.
We
may have. Hell, I don't know. He's killing people everywhere.
Yeah, he's lucky he didn't run into Carl Pan's Ram on the thing. He'd be better off.
On
the world would have been better off if he would have run into Carl on the rails.
Yeah, they could have took each other out.
Yeah, well, so and there were many more. A string of perhaps 20 across America that spanned his three decades by Sells' account. Sells began using the nickname Coast to Coast.
Yeah, he gave himself a nickname, much like someone we know.
Only douchebags do that.
Well, the range of Sells' alleged crimes defies simple analysis. Sells, nearly illiterate, with an eighth grade education, does that remind you of Timmy? Mm-hmm. Spent his life on boozy.
Probably blew his economics.
Spent his life as a boozy. Hold on here, we're getting even closer. Doped up drifter.
Mm-hmm.
Who does that remind you of, Timmy?
I'm not boozy.
She don't drift.
This pattern, to the extent that he had one, was simple. Kill and move on.
That's kind of your motto, isn't it?
It really is.
That's usually your Facebook status. Every time.
Moving on.
Don't you have a tattoo that
I've
says
killed
that?
And moved on.
So, turn the page.
Yet he managed to fly beneath the radar of law enforcement hooker for 20 years. Law enforcement for 20 years, particularly unusual in that most of his victims were not hobos and hookers, who typically occupied the lowest priority slot at the back of the homicide investigation file drawer. He spent time in prison for a number of offenses, and that crime pedigree was readily available to law enforcers. But he was never even a sub-suspect in a murder until he failed in his attempt to kill Crystal Searles. His victims spanned generational, gender, and geographic lines. His weapons were guns, knives, or his hands. He attacked young girls whom he did not know as they slept in their beds and threw a fellow drifter off a train during an argument over money. So he was just like the, he basically like an assassin.
Yeah, he would kill anyone. Yeah, he didn't have a group that he targeted.
He'd just kill anybody, anytime, yeah. Anyway.
Well, part of it was sexual, but I think he didn't limit himself to that, to women.
Yeah, there was not a whole lot of, I mean, there was not, you know, not a lot of raping and everything in this.
Well, there's some.
I mean, there's some, but I mean, not like these two girls. It doesn't, you know.
Yeah, he just attacked them.
He just attacked them and killed them. And so there's no clear pattern. There's no, it's not the same gender, age. Some were young girls, others men, transients with whom he'd have an altercation and take it to the, who he would take an altercation to its fullest, Timmy.
You like that? Turn of phrase?
That's a turn of phrase right there. In 2004, a Texas jury just took him just 1 hour.
There you go.
To convict him of the
they
murder
got things
of
to do, man. You're in a Texas jury.
They got shit going on.
You're parking at a meter.
Yeah. It's hot and shit down there. Those people, it ain't air conditioned in those courtrooms. It took him an hour after a 3-day trial. And they found him guilty, and they voted for execution.
Next.
Remember, this is Texas in 2004.
Right.
His sentence was carried out in the Texas State Penitentiary in Huntsville. As a lethal dose of phenobarbital was admitted, he took a few deep breaths, closed his eyes, and began to snore. Less than a minute later, he was dead.
That's embarrassing, snoring at your
execution.
Yeah.
13 minutes later, 6:27 p.m. local time, Tommy Lynn Sells was pronounced dead. The end of the Coast to Coast, man.
Bye, Felicia.
Bye, Felicia.
What a prick. Brandy, your final thoughts on serial killer Tommy Lynn Sells.
He's a prick.
Yeah, he was a creep, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's a piece of work.
He was a carny.
He was a carny.
Colonel, your final thoughts on serial killer, Coast to Coast killer, Tommy Lynn Sells.
He's a Lucas.
He was a degenerate.
I mean, he was a degenerate, but he was like, you know, Lucas. Henry Lee Lucas. That's who he reminds me of.
Yeah.
Not George Lucas.
Not Jerry Lucas. All right. No singing. You got some shout outs for us, Colonel.
I got some shout outs.
But before you do, I want to give a shout out to True Crime Review. Check it out. It's a new podcast. Joe is the host there, True Crime Review. And I don't know if I said Joe Hopkins for the – this is a different Joe. Joe Hopkins for the Patreon, but thank you for supporting us, Joe. If I missed you, I am sorry. Go ahead, Colonel, with your shout-outs.
And, Joe, don't worry about your new podcast. Joe asked me, you know, hold me. I'm scared. And Joe is going to be – Joe's a smart guy. He's going to do very, very well.
Yeah, he's got a new podcast, and we'll be promoting it soon. As soon as he gets it up, it's going to be really good, and we're looking forward to it. It's like current affairs, politics. Should be really good.
So I have, you know, we have so many members now, so many people involved on this page, and as I explained last time, I've split the shout-outs in half.
Yeah, we're going to rotate them.
So we're on a rotation, so it doesn't get so monotonous for everybody, but we don't want to leave people out. So we're going to start with Annette Petre.
The lovely Annette Petre from the Bronx.
Yes, Steph Glenn, Christina Hodges, Christina Montana, or Lefty as we call her.
Yes.
Maria Barbara, Jennifer Potts, Sydney.
Yeah, I'm in the process. I'm looking at buying a condo, so I might need Christine Montana's advice.
To come over at closing?
Well, you know, she's...
Can you come to the closing?
I hear she really closes the deal.
She'll close the deal, but I think you got to buy her.
You
got to buy
alone.
Her.
Teasing.
You got to buy Christina the house, though, Timmy. I think he was buying her a house.
I see. Okay. I just thought that was like...
No, I don't think she was just sitting there filling out paperwork.
Okay, okay.
So
we're just teasing Christina.
Dillhole.
We're just teasing.
Yeah, we love Christina. Yes. She actually, Christina, you can just see her profile picture. A beautiful woman.
Yes, yes.
Beautiful
and
woman.
And she's been on our page for a long time.
And very funny.
Yes, very loyal listener. Thank you, Christina.
So Maria, Jennifer Potts, Sydney Hamilton, Mike Arnold, Melissa Lebrano, Brittany Powell, our Heathers, Heather Hall, Heather Poole, Heather Marshall, Terry Hemsley, Kimberly Cameron, Kevin Behan, Lise, Mike Tabor, John Janke, Jeff Hopkins, Michael Daniel, Jim Moore, Jessica Bishop, Liz Evans, Stacy Lynn, Jeffrey Dolan, Miriam Buchwald, Jennifer Miller, Kelsey Froze, Susanna Sheldon, Ramona Danger Howard, Skip Fayou, the crazy, you know, who ranks right up there in craziness with Amber Cruz is Callie Jones.
Amber Croup
is Callie Jones.
Callie Jones is a very loyal listener.
She's a loyal listener, very, very lovely young lady, yes. But she's crazy as hell, Timmy. Brandy Deese, Andy Smizer, Dan Hamer, Norma DiMaggio, Angie L, Amber Trevino, Karen Alden, Carla, of course, Jessica Winchester, Anita Darden, Nancy Weller, Kristen Anderson, Valerie Murray, Tammy Ennis, Tamara Kohler, Leif McAllister, Steph Poling, Lauren Meredith, Kelly Colwell, Jennifer Savoda, Lauren
Jennifer.
Meredith.
Yes.
Of course, Nina.
Nina Einstead from...
Why do I always say
that?
You know,
Nina Einstead from the Already Gone podcast.
Let me explain that to me, because the director that was here, if you remember that we worked with, Nina, and she just left.
It's someone yes. we know personally, yes.
Yes.
And every time I see N-I-N-A, I say Nina.
Okay.
But anyway, Ronnie Rhodes, Sophie Panna, Aaron Shipley, Jay Alford, Holly Woodard, Ali Nett, Susie Randall, Deb Chappelle, Danielle Jones.
From Between Us Girls.
Yep.
Podcast.
Brittany Martin, Margot Donahue, Jamie Metcalf, Meg Vansell, Allison Schneider, Sarah Taylor, Ramona Howard, Nitan Sill, Kim Bennett, Rachel Hummel, Lauren Marer, Molly Fontenot, Sean DeBoard, Melissa Montoya, Stacy Gutierrez, Tim Hale, Donnie Young, Melanie Young, James Rion, Alan Dobbs, Ann Daza, Carol Nash, Elizabeth Brault, Mark Farnan, Paula Kimes, Chris Swanson, Christina Bachelor, Andrea O'Dell, Rob Roy, George Hockler, Matt Brookins, Joe Lehman, Lamon, Ruth Ann, the little sister we sang
yes,
happy
Lydia,
birthday to.
Lydia Fisher's sister.
Leah
yes.
Pangburn, Natalie Parsons, Todd Long, Lauren Feller, Ron Ratzke, Terry Pickett, Holly Schreiber, Madge Payne, Lindy Latta,
TJ Young.
Now, we got a bunch of new listeners that we got to add to this, so.
Okay.
But yeah, TJ Young, Pete Fulmer, Chris Lane, Mike Hound, Sabone, Lavelle, Brooke Smith, Tony Marsala, Sarah Morgan, MJ Howard, Jill Phoenix, Stacy Flynn, Marissa Rhodes, Lydia, Elise Kearns, Kim Stroop, Justin, of course, Justin Broder.
Justin, yeah.
Broder. And Justin Brode, Christine Whiting, and the
yeah,
one
I'm definitely the one that you need to watch pronunciation with.
I'm gonna have classes with both of you. I'll have like a little flip chart with lips.
You are for sure not teaching that class.
Yeah. And then we got the three we can never forget. I know we're splitting shout outs, but Fallon always has to get a shout out.
All right.
Because she is the mascot of Team Colonel.
Yes.
She's
love
a
Fallon.
Lovely young girl.
We love Fallon. We love all our listeners.
Yes. And, of course, Lady Beverly, who we love deeply.
Yes. Lady Beverly and her husband.
Her husband, Graham, and her lovely daughter, and her wonderful dog, Sully the Noble.
Yes.
Sully the Bold.
Yes.
And, of course... And we're glad that everything checked out yesterday with you, Miss Dottie.
Yes,
the lovely, lovely Dottie Scott,
yes.
who really is the reason we do this whole damn podcast for anyway.
Yes, Brandy, do you have any?
Amelia Roscoe, did I get her?
Doesn't matter.
Do you have
Mark Hammermeister.
Mark from the Conspirators podcast. Allie and Charlie from the Insight podcast.
Allie and Charlie. Well,
Brandy, do you have any shout-outs before we wrap up?
No, I think we've covered.
All right. Well, thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you again next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Good day.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.